that the man has, particularly the first son. And many girls feel that they are really not, they've been rejected. Someone else has been put up ahead of them. They may many times go through that young life and be a helper in all that comes, but deep inside, there may have been some very hard feelings. Sometimes it may have been a teacher who thought that you just couldn't do anything, and she let you know it. It can even be now your spouse that's rejecting you, putting you down, criticizing you, whatever it is. But this hurt, then, we have, as humans, we tend to cover it up. We don't want people to see our hurts. And many times, because some of them are, when we are so young, we don't even remember our hurts. I remember one young lady I was dealing with, and I said, how was things? She said, well, I had a wonderful young life. And then I began to question her about some, and she ended up crying because it was deep inside of her, and she began to see some of the hurts that she had. Now, hurts may come in different ways, but usually when we feel, many times when we feel that we have been rejected. Rejection is a very, very hard thing. It's hitting at your person. It's hitting at you as a human being. And people are just rejecting you. This is not something that we can really take so easy. So as I said before, we make defense mechanisms. Oh, we don't sit down and say, now for the rest of my life, I'm going to be a critical person. No, we don't do that. We cover it up inside of us. And then as life moves on, it begins to come out of us in many situations, things that we cover up. Sometimes that's what our anger is doing. There are many things, there are many defense mechanisms. Sometimes we put our hurts on somebody that's not even in part of it, but we hurt them because we hurt. So this morning, last week we talked about criticism. And this is not far, most of you know what criticism is. Sometimes in families this becomes the real heel in the fact that the wife is constantly, or the husband is constantly criticizing the other spouse. And this is demoralizing because you see, what you are doing is you're going to feel yourself lifted up by putting others down. We've been put down, we cover ourselves, but now we sort of, this is our mechanism to lift ourselves up, to constantly see the faults of others. So we talked about that last week, and I trust today that we will be honest with ourselves. You know, these defense mechanisms makes life sort of difficult for us. It hurts our relationships. It hurts a lot of these things that actually we would rather enjoy in life, but instead, all we see many times is just the negative. And a person that sees a negative of everything is a person that's going to have trouble with their physical body. It's proven. It's going to be with our psychological or our emotional system. And of course, our spiritual life. So we have to learn then, how can I, Lord, come from this very critical spirit? I have someone that called me and we were talking, and I know her very well and I love her very much. She was telling me how they're having trouble now in their marriage, and I know she's a person that sometimes can be rather critical. And now she's feeling this in her marriage. So let us look to see, how can I turn from a critical person to an encourager? Because that's what will really give you true strength and character. We need encouragers today. Everywhere you look, people are so tied up with themselves that they don't really care about others. They may even say, well, I care about you, but not really. So we need those that from the heart become encouragers. And I have found out that some of the best people that say like that are encouragers may have once been criticizers and have learned how to turn that coin to something that really is beneficial in every way in our lives. So let's look at it. There are nine differences between a critical spirit and an encouraging spirit. Now I want us to look at them just quickly. A critical person condemns the person as well as the act. But an encourager condemns the act, not the person. Now when we, I can go into these things. The Lord has to help me to be quick. But when we discipline our children, sometimes we don't want to be so critical, but when we do, we say, well, they do something wrong. He did something wrong. What should I do? Just let him go? No. But do you criticize him? Do you attack him or what he's done? Now, many times we'll say, you're so lazy. Look at your room. You're just because you're lazy. You don't want to do anything. So here we are telling them, hitting at their person, and just slightly talking about the room. And you see, this is what we're talking about. Whereas, as a person that is an encourager, they'll say to them, look at your room. You need help. I'm going to help you, and we're going to work at this together. Or whatever, however you want. But you're actually condemning what they've done. But the problem is, so many times we find it so much easier to hit them, to tell them what they are. Lazy, won't study, always on the computer. You know, it was sort of because you have no ambition. And so as parents, when we give this off to our children, they begin to feel that way. They begin to feel, what do they begin to feel? They begin to feel rejected. And becomes a circle. That's why you have to, when you begin to talk to people, don't criticize them and their person. Don't call them names. Don't belittle them. But look at the action they've done and work on the action. It works much better. Now the second one, a critical spirit focuses on what? Your faults. My faults. And we all have them, don't we? Now, I know there's some of you think you're perfect, but I think if you looked a little around, you could find one thing you've done wrong. But we all have faults. But what a critical person does is they focus on your faults. Whereas an encourager, as they watch you, sometimes they begin to examine themselves. Am I like that? Do I have that kind of spirit? So instead of trying to always see people's faults, look within ourselves. This is where we're living. This is where we overcome, not with other people's failures. Other people's failures have nothing to do with us, but our attitude does. And so instead of looking at their failures, look at yourself and say, you know, am I like that? There are a lot of people that when they see somebody else, they say, boy, I can't stand them. But when they begin to look at them and begin to think of themselves, they begin to see themselves in a lot of that. So we do a little bit of that. A critical spirit ridicules others. And you'll notice that all of the things I'm talking about is hitting at the person. Ridicules. And this is something that It's just the other side of what's happened to you. People have ridiculed you, maybe. People have, like I said, rejected you. And so now you find it very easy because you're going to push them down because you've been pushed down. That's why we say hurt people always hurts people. And so you have to realize then that this critical spirit is we don't do that. One is the encouraging spirit refrains from ridiculing others. I can't really take it much. I worked a lot in mission with my mother and dad. I mean, you know, where the men would come in drunk. We'll be out on the street corner and there'd be lots of them out there that had problems. And I've seen them in very low situations. But there's something in my heart that when I see a drunk now, I look beyond the drunk and see what maybe he could have been. Or I look at that drunk and remember what he was. I don't want to ridicule. I don't ridicule people who have problems. Little children I think only of the mongoloid, but those that are mentally retarded, they're not to be ridiculed. And so as a person to be an encourager, you go from stop ridiculing people and begin to appreciate people for them, what they are. This makes a difference in your life. When you're always looking and criticizing and ridiculing, you're not a happy person. You're a heavy person. You're a person that just seems to want to get everything out. But when you're an encourager, you begin to look at people in a different light. Lord, help me not to ridicule people. Help me not to. That's another one of them. Another one is a critical spirit makes judgmental based on appearance. They make judgments on appearance. Whatever they see, they judge. It may not be true. And I have learned that in my long life. That many times when I would judge someone, I would find out it wasn't true. I had a very dear friend, and I judged her on a matter. And God showed me it wasn't true, and it broke my heart. I don't want to judge people. When we judge people, we are taking things into our own hands. Because judgment goes to the motive. Judgment that God does looks at the reason why we don't. We just judge them for what it is and try with the words we say and putting them down and so forth. But that isn't what an encourager does. An encourager makes judgment based on facts. I remember one time a preacher came to me and he was telling me about a friend of mine. And he was telling me about something very, very bad that they were accusing her of. And I looked at him and I said, I don't believe that. I know her. And I began to cry because I knew that she was not a person like that. And yet now they were judging her only on the appearance, not on what it really was. How many people have been hurt this way? We're so quick to judge, so quick to give our opinion. Oh, I have my opinion. Your opinions really aren't worth very much. Not really. An opinion that hurts a people and hurts them deeply, that's not a very good thing. So let's realize this. A critical spirit assumes the worst without first hearing from the accuser. They don't even bother to hear. They just it goes along with the one we said about making judgments. We assume that the worst. There's a little thing I use where a man was out at lunchtime, and he was having lunch with a customer. And there was a group of ladies that wasn't sitting very far from him. And those ladies were very close friends to his wife. And they were having lunch together. She didn't go that day. So as soon as one got home, she had to make sure that that dear woman knew there was a problem. So she called her up. And she said, I saw your husband out. I don't like to tell you this. You know, I don't want to hurt you. Oh, that's why she called. So I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to tell you about this. But I saw your husband eating lunch with another woman. Now, there's where the woman, the wife, has to make a decision. Do I believe her? She's judging by appearance, causing myself heartache, causing maybe a rift in my marriage. Or do I say, well, I'll talk to my husband about it. I'll see what it was. The problem is so many times we just assume the worst when we shouldn't assume the worst. It's best to hear. When he got home, he could tell her, honey, that was only a woman that was my customer. I needed to take her out. And she understood. But it could have been a terrible tragedy in that home if she would have gone by the woman that just saw what she thought and put her own thoughts on it. So you can see what a difference it is, that critical spirit and that encouraging spirit, it makes a lot of difference in the lives of others and in our own life. Well, let's go on about an encourager. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Oh, I would love this. If people would say, when I think of you, I think of Jesus. Has anybody ever had that? Somebody tell them that? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? When I think of you, I think of Jesus. You would feel in your heart, your deepest parts of your heart, you'd like to be like Jesus. Many of us, we would love to be able to have a different attitudes, different way of doing things, getting off some of the baggage that we've been carrying. We would really like to. You see, Jesus did not have a judgmental spirit, and he was God's son. And he will be the final judge. But when he was here on earth, he didn't judge. He said to the woman that was caught in the midst of adultery, he said to her, go and sin no more. He had the spirit that he did not judge people. He told them what they were, a sinner. They needed help. But he didn't judge them. In the final, we'll be judged. So you and I, if we're going to be like Christ, we can't be a judge, for he was not like that. Jesus seemed to draw people to him. Do you think that it was just because he was a son of God? Do you think if he went out like some people, hello people, I'm here and I want to let you know something. God has sent his kingdom and I'm the Messiah. And I want you to know that from now on, if you're going to be in the kingdom, this is what you've got to do. Do you think he would have drawn people? No. You see, he drew them by what he wants us to be. He drew them because they knew he loved them. He drew them because of his compassion. He drew them because he cared about them. He drew them because when he saw them sick, when he saw them blind, when they saw even those few that were dead, he had to reach out because the word of God said, because of his compassion. So you see, as children of God, if we're going to be critical people, they will not be able to see us as children of God. You know, this is what has hindered the Christian religion, faith, power. In India, if I'm not mistaken, trying to remember his name. Who was the man that, the little guy, he was peaceful and he changed India. Can't remember his name. Yeah, Gandhi. I think he said, you know, I love Jesus to see what he's done, but I don't see it in Christians. So you see, this is why they talk about Christians. Well, you're not a Christian, you don't do that. They wouldn't say that to a Buddhist at all. They would never say to a Buddhist, you're a bad Buddhist or what. No, they know that the Buddhists are trying to help themselves up through the steps. They wouldn't say the same thing to an Arab or to a Muslim, because the Muslims are trying to keep their law. But what do they say to us Christians? You don't act like a Christian. What does a Buddhist act like? What does a Muslim act like? But when it comes to Christianity, our expectations to the world has been great because of Jesus. And so therefore, they have great expectations of Christians, more so than to the Muslim or to the Buddhist. So you see, this is what's going to make a difference. And that's why Satan likes to keep us with bruised and damaged emotions. Because he knows then that we're not going to be fully and able to be what God wants us to be. So let's look at some of the things that will help us today. And that is, we want Christ in us. I think that this is the thing as a Christian, and really as a, I think many people, I want Christ in me. I want them to see him in me. So let's look at it. An encourager has a humble heart. Let me tell you, a person that is a grumbler doesn't have a humble heart. Because they're ready to slash and to cut and to hurt. And so we see that a heart that's, what's a humble heart? A humble heart is a heart that sees our shortcomings. Sure, honey, you go on. But we're happy to have had you, even for this long, okay? Thank you. A humble heart is a heart that sees its own shortcomings. That's what humbles us. A lot of times when we have these defense mechanisms, we try to build ourselves up. I do well at this. I'm good at this. I can show the world. But a humble heart is when we look to God and say, Lord, I've got some shortcomings. I know myself, when I humble myself before the Lord, I can almost feel myself just coming down before him, knowing my many shortcomings that he has helped me through over these years. Humble your heart to see your own sins, your own imperfections, your own immaturity. We don't like to confess that we're immature, but many of us are. You've never got out of the boyhood, the girlhood. You never got to the place you can face life with reality, constantly hiding it under yourselves. Rather than measuring yourself by human standards, measure yourself by God's standards. They're really not very, what shall I say? I won't say hard, easy, but I'm saying they are really very beautiful. Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, all of these different fruits of the Spirit, that's what he wants us to have. And this is the longing of his heart. So, Lord, I see myself, and I want to be what you want me to be. So as a grumbler, as a complainer, find a place to talk to God. Humble your heart. Tell him you know what you've been doing. It's not been good. And you feel like you want something different. You want to be like him. You want to get over this. So if you want to come from a person that is a complainer and grumbling, then humble your heart before him. Tell him it's not been right. Hurting people is not right. Saying what you think isn't always right. Because what we think is not always right. So we see then we have to humble ourselves before him. Next, an encourager begins to have a compassionate heart. Instead of wanting to hurt people, a heart that actively cares about others. And the best place to start is in the home. They begin to really care. Caring means I care for you more than I care for myself. And this is something that many times is very difficult to face. But you and I, with God's help, can start to have a more compassionate heart. We can begin to look at our spouse with a little different light and realize why they feel the way they do, why they act the way they do. How can I help them to be a little different? Maybe it's because they're taking on all the responsibility and you're sort of drifting and enjoying life. It's time now that you share the responsibilities, this compassionate spirit. And then as that compassionate spirit comes in your home, it'll move out. You'll become a more compassionate person. When we look at God's life, or Christ's life, we see compassion. Oh, that God would give us a heart like that. As I talked to you about the woman at the well, or a woman caught in adultery, the woman at the well, there was another time. Here he sat. He needs go through Samaria, is what the scripture said. He needs go through. Now, what does that mean? It meant that the Jews didn't go through Samaria if they couldn't help it. But he needed to go through. And the disciples didn't know, but they went off to get some food. And there he sat at the well because he needed to come. Why did he need to come? Because there was a woman, a bad woman, that was coming to that well that needed him. And we see him as he talks to her, makes conversation with her, and finally gets to the place he said, go get your husband. And she said, I have no husband. I've had five, and the one I have now is not. He hit her just what she needed. And when he did, she recognized he was the Messiah. Went back to the village to tell them about this man. He didn't go there and sit there and wait for her and say, why are you coming this hour? Because you're a bad woman? Because most of the others came other hours. No. His compassion. She could feel his compassion. So we pray for ways that God can help us to be compassionate. Now, an encourager has something else, an appreciative heart. Thankful. Very thankful. A heart that sees God giving worth to everyone. We appreciate everyone. We're different, very, very different. But we can learn to appreciate one another. You can learn to appreciate someone that's different than you. Everyone doesn't have to agree with me. In fact, I remember when I first went to the pastorate in Cayman, I had a rubber stamping board. Everything, boom, boom, yeah, 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 that's right, okay. I didn't like it. I wanted people that was going to help me. So I began to work with the board, and by the time I left, I was praying for God to let me leave. I think I had created a jungle. They really knew how to talk. They really knew how to, but I prefer that because I want to know how I can do better and how we can work together and how we can get there. That's why we have to understand that we can appreciate others that doesn't have the same ideas that we have. You know, talk is cheap, but to really appreciate a person is standing behind them. Before speaking words of criticism, ask a wise friend to evaluate your context and your tone. Now, I have to go to my boss. There is a real problem. He needs to know how I feel about this. So what do I do? Run and go get into the boss and let him know what I believe? No. A wise person will go to someone and say, listen, I got to go with him. Listen to me. How am I saying? You know, at the tone of our voice can be far greater than the words that we say. Well, boss, I know you're a good man and you've done all right, but I feel like, you know, just going at him with a tone that is ready to fight. No, the tone, what we say. You say, that's full. No, it will help you. And as you do this, sometimes maybe you can do it in front of a mirror. You can see yourself. But anyhow, try these things to help yourself. Then we have a heart. Appreciative heart, okay. An encouraging heart. One that can, is that where you are, an encouraging heart? Is that the next one? An accepting heart, okay. My papers got mixed up. Anyway. Okay, as we have an appreciative heart, then we have not only that, but I think we're seeing here a discerning heart too. We accept things. But we have a discerning heart. That means that we don't look at things in the critical spirit. We look at them and we wonder, Lord, why are they acting that way? Many times God has opened to my heart why it's that way. He gives me something and I begin to discern about what is the problem or how they're acting. And I know more how to deal with them. An encouraging heart doesn't go and grab it and just criticism and hurt. We try to discern why. Why are they that way? I think of one person, their family when they were little. Their father left his mother because she got into a relationship. His mother left, and her mother married this other man, had a rough life. And the boy was there watching all of this. And we see him now as he's growing up. And he looks at his mother, not with a sense of, she's a wonderful woman. But it depends on the heart of the person. He can look at her as a woman that wasn't really very good with her morals. And then he goes on, and in the church he has been hurt. And he goes on to see those who hurt him. And he goes with a girl, and she drops him, and He has all of these different things of rejection. And he's carrying them in his heart. So what happens? He has no trust. And he becomes very critical about others. Why? Not because just because he just grew up that way, but because things have hurt him. And as a discerning people, we begin to, instead of judging these actions, we begin to try to find out why, or try to give them the benefit of the doubt, realizing that people don't always mean what they say. You know, sometimes there are people, we have a worker in one of our areas, and she is really very, very straight. She really talks it, you know, she tells you what she thinks is right, and she feels that's the right way, and she really, and I know in my heart, because I work with her, I know her, she doesn't mean it the way it comes out. But the problem is, she has never faced what it has done. And because of that, she is not learning how to be able to talk a little different and show forth a little different attitude. Now, an encourager has a wise heart, a heart that relies on the spirit of truth. You know, when we want to lose this critical spirit, we begin to realize, I don't live the life for everybody else. I don't have to judge other people. I just live my own life, loving them, caring for them, helping them if they want, but I live my own life. And so we see that the wise heart just depends on the Spirit of God as they go along. And sometimes he will open to you that that person needs your help. And you will begin to help him. Then I want you to see, recognizing that the worth of a person, and that's one of those things, recognizing the worth of something is more often established by the price we pay for it. Looking at now, the Lord established worth in every person by paying the highest price for his life with his blood. He paid the necessary ransom to free you from the penalty of sin. Treat people, especially your most problematical people, as someone that has God-given worth. You see, we like to push people down. We like to tell them, our children, sometimes you're stupid, you're dumb, you don't know how to do anything. Sometimes we look at our husband and say, you're so stubborn, you're just like your father, and you know he doesn't care for his father. You're just like your father, and goes on and on. You see, we're talking to people like they don't have any worth. Every God-given person on this earth, whether they are in the darkest jungles of Africa, or whether the highest heights of Tibet, they are God-given, loved people. They may be different than us. They may not know what we do. They may not be educated. They may not understand things, but every man and woman is God-given, and God, they have a worth. So when we hit at our husband, when we hit at our children, when we hit at our friends and our neighbors, when we hit at our work, you're hitting at those that God has given them worth, and you're tearing down the worth that God has given them. We need God's help with this. An encouraging heart is a praising heart. Instead of looking at the negative side of things with people, begin to praise God. Praise them for be able to praise him. Refuse to be someone that is a fault finder, a Pharisee. We're always finding fault. And this is something that is so easy to do. Did you know it seems to be more easy to find fault than just to let things go? Much more easier. So in the human heart that has not asked God to forgive them, they have this thing that they want to hurt each other. But now let's see, avoiding, you know, refusing to be a Pharisee. Also, avoid the temptation to catch people doing something wrong. I know there's those who just love to catch somebody doing something wrong, because that builds them up. That makes them bigger. But as an encourager, we don't want to catch people doing wrong. We want to encourage. My friend came the other week, and And I was in the bedroom, and she was in the kitchen with Mrs. Shee. And she dropped and broke something. And so I yelled in from the bedroom, "I didn't want that anyhow. Why did you do that? I don't want her to feel bad. I don't want to catch her doing something. Now you broke my things, you know? I don't want that kind of thing. I want to live a life where I am at peace with people as much as I can be. For this is what the Word of God says, that we are to live as peacefully as we can with one another. We're not looking to bring them down. Instead of praising, you know, their outer characters, their good looks, their attractive clothes, their wealth, let us begin to look inside and see that inner character, their wisdom, their perseverance, their thoughtfulness, their integrity. No, they're not beautiful. They're not smart. And maybe we don't think they're smart. And they may not have a lot of money, but there's something in them that brings out true worth. Pray that you will see something positive in every person that faithfully makes you, that you focus on. You can really find something good in everyone. I don't know anybody I've ever seen that you couldn't find something good. I like to tell the wives, what in the world did you find in your husband to marry him for? Had to be something good there. Husbands, there had to be something good with your wife. So begin to start seeing some of the good things. This is one of the things that used to hurt me a lot when I was growing up. My mother never saw the good things. She always saw what I didn't do. She always saw where I was, you know, where she had to straighten me out. But you see, that's not the thing. What we are to do is what we have to be able to see is those things that are good and be able to enlarge on the good and help them with those things. I'm speaking particularly of our children because this is something that is very, very necessary. When we look at our children, they are not angels. Now, there's some parents that think they are, but they're going to have a rude awakening. Now, the children are not angels. They get on your nerves, as we say. Sometimes you feel like, oh, why don't they? But the fact is, we are training them. Discipline means training. It doesn't mean beating. Discipline doesn't mean giving them punishment. It means training. And when we train our children, we are training them not only for the punishment, we are training them to have a good self-image. We are training them in that because it's something that has to be developed in your child. And when you are always cutting them down, when you're always seeing the wrong, never seeing anything right. Now, I may be the other way, and I confess that. I may give too much approval. I may, you know, always saying nice things, always saying yes or whatever. But I have learned that I feel like people need some approval because they get enough of the other kinds of things. A wife that works all the time, taking care of her children, taking care of the home, and a husband that comes in and says, "What have you been doing all day?" You know, or "What's wrong with it? Look at this room here. You know, this dinner isn't very good. You must have got that out of a box." And there are men that are like that and women that are like that. But this is what I'm saying. As children of God, we have to ask him, "Lord, I had a damaged emotion. I was hurt. I've been rejected. But Lord, I don't want to live there. I want to live where I'm an encourager. Somebody that can help others. Somebody that can make life a little less hectic for people. Someone that can lift up and encourage." When we do, God will bless us because he says that. Blessed is the peacemaker. For they are the children of God? I forget right now what it was. But actually, this is what he wants. Now, I want you to notice. You say, "Well, how can I do it? How can I start out?" Let's look at our little poem there. "On this day, mend a quarrel. Maybe not today, but maybe tomorrow. Maybe you've had a quarrel, fuss, a fight. Mend it." Say, "Me? Go back?" Yes. Go back and say, "You know, if no more, you can say, I don't like my attitude the way I said that. I know that I feel in my heart, but I didn't like my attitude. Please forgive me." Mending a quarrel. Have you ever said, forgive you? I was a principal, and I have had to say to children, forgive me. Because there were times when I really felt it and overfelt it and did something I really should have probably not did. And I'd gone back and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. You see, there's no harm in it, and it relieves the heart. Mend a quarrel. Search out a forgotten friend. You know, we have lots of friends that's back there, you know, that we knew, that we cared about. And maybe if we get in touch with them, we may be able to help them. There are those that say, oh, I'm so glad to hear from you. You know, I've been going through this. So search out a friend. This is the compassion part of you. It's very simple. Just search out a friend to talk to. Then we can see, dismiss the suspicion and replace it with trust. You know, some of us are very jealous. Some of us are very suspicious of our children, of our husband, of our wife, of our boss, of our friends, of our mother-in-law, of our father-in-law. We have all these suspicions. This is how they are. Yeah, I believe. You know, I don't believe they're really honest. Forget those suspicions. You can't prove them. They don't make you feel any better. They're not helping anybody. Get rid of the suspicions and say, okay, I trust them. If they said that, until I see different, I trust them. This will help you. This will help heal you. Write a letter to someone you miss. That's encouragement. You're getting out there to help and to be a part of the people around you. Encourage a youth who's lost their faith. Very easy today for our children to lose their faith, because when they enter school and in their junior high and high school, the things that we teach them in our family, the things that we teach them in our church are being torn down in the school. It's all right to be a homosexual. It's all right, you know, to argue over that, you know. You've got to get your rights out. You've got to tell people, friends, we have no rights in Christ. He is the one that takes care of us. He is the one that will revenge us. So we see then, encourage him. Keep a promise. Oh, I love this one because my mother had problems with that. Not that she meant to. She meant it. I know it from my heart. But always something else came in. Another meeting. Somebody she had to see. Someplace she had to go. Something she had to do. Until many times after that, I don't trust and believe people I really didn't. You tell me you're going to do this, I didn't even pay attention to it because I wasn't sure you're going to do it. And this was really bad in my life because it hindered me in knowing how to trust God. Because when you can't trust people, you can't learn, you can't know how to trust God. So try that. Forget an old grudge. Somebody's done something a long time ago. I can't stand them. I don't want anything to do. Get rid of that. Get it out of your heart. Free yourself from these things. Because these grudges and things are what imprisons you. Free yourself. Examine your demands on others. Are you demanding too much? Is your expectations too great? This is what happens often in marriage. They both go into marriage with great expectations. And those expectations aren't met. And before long, they're having their problems. We have to understand, let's not demand so much of others. Help them, be alongside of them, do what you can do, but don't demand so much of others. Fight for a principle. Now, that's one thing I will fight for. I have stood up. I have done what I felt was right. I've stood up in situations where the abortion and things such as that. We really have to fight for our principles. Express your gratitude. Now, this is one that's not always easy for Chinese people because it is not really a part of your culture of expressing your emotions, expressing that I love you. You can love on your little baby when they're 2 years old, up to 2 or 3 years old, and after that, there's not much loving anymore on some people. There's many of you that still do, but it just seems like we don't have it. to know how to express. Sometimes saying thank you is so hard, you think it was a bad word. You know, we have to learn how to express our gratitude. And then we see overcoming old fears. Now, this is something that is really something God has to help you with. For some of us do have old fears. I had the fear of flying. I had the fear of death. I had the fear of heights. But I remember how God helped me overcome them. So when we have these fears, don't live with fears. Ask God to help you to learn how to have freedom from fear. Take time to appreciate the beauty of nature. Some of us don't ever do that, but it does something inside of us. We begin to appreciate a little more. We take a little time. Give God the praise and tell someone you love him. These are some of the things that will take you from a criticizer to an encourager, to someone that people will begin to look at and to trust and to begin to know that you're not going to hurt them. You're going to help them. You're going to go alongside of them. This isn't something you do overnight. This is something you pray about. This is something that as you do it, you ask God to forgive you, help you over these things. This is what we do with this kind of thing. So please, if it will help you so much, and all of those that live around you. Now, I want you to take your paper home. I wish you would read over it. Maybe you can go over it and help you. My heart longs in our church to have people that really are becoming more like Jesus. It makes a difference in a church, and people know it. And I trust that's why I do counseling. That's why I do counseling in China. This is the easiest way to tell people how to live a Christian life. How to let go of this baggage, how to let go of these things and become someone different. May God bless you this morning. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for these people. We ask you to bless them and to help them. Keep your hand of love. Show them what it can be to be more like Jesus. That their lives can be more open and more free. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Your belt knocks me out. What's that? Well, thank the Lord. That's me too. Good.